you got the atmosphere of the theatre. The lights would gradually go down and the stage lights would gradually come up and the conductor would tap. The curtains would open and there was acrobats, there was ventriloquists, magicians, singers, comedians. There was a little bit of everything.
Variety. For the first half of the 20th century, if you wanted live entertainment, you went to a variety show. And the variety capital was Blackpool.
Light in Blackpool, there's a story.
Dr. Vanessa Toulmin, director of the National Fairground Archive at the University of Sheffield.
Really, the variety show was a mixture of all forms of entertainment that had been going for 200 years put onto one venue in one performance. Blackpool is the world's first working-class seaside resort, and of course the seaside resort is built in entertaining the masses. And so many venues in Blackpool were built for entertainment.
Blackpool journalist and local historian Barry Band on where it started.
The beginning of variety in Blackpool, probably we can say, was with the Empire Theatre, which opened in 1895. And it went broke in 18 months. This was at the time when Blackpool was just on the edge of the boom. Investors thought there was a lot of money to be made here because the Tower had opened the previous year and was very successful. Later on, in the late 1890s, a second big variety theatre was built called the Alhambra. Very ambitious project, went broke in 3 years.
In spite of the stuttering beginnings, in no time, it all took off, and shrewd local businessmen knew they were onto a good thing.
The successful ventures were created by Blackpool families, mainly the Bickerstaff family, who were behind the building of the Tower. And the Tower became a very big company, encompassing several other businesses. But a lot of the investment came in from out of the area. Local people were in control of the theatres, however. There was never a big syndicate variety theatre in Blackpool, like all the cities had, the Mosses and the Stowell Empires. The local entrepreneurs had got a hold of things early and there really wasn't room for another big variety theatre.
Blackpool was as busy as London.
Cyril Critchlow, who's known the town since the 30s.
There were shows on every pier, at the Opera House, at the Winter Gardens, at the Palace, at the Tower, at Fellman's Theatre, and each were twice nightly. And each filled. When people came on holiday, if they didn't go the first day to book, they wouldn't get in the show.
The railways could bring in thousands and thousands of people every weekend. As many as 200 and 300 trains arriving on a weekend, disgorging all these people who've come here with one aim, to have a good time and a good laugh. Blackpool was there to cater for it.
And one theatre was the jewel in the crown. Vanessa Toulmin.
We're standing outside now the Grand Theatre in Blackpool, and it's actually in the middle of a kind of slightly modern pedestrianised precinct. But what you actually have is the most incredible building. It's commissioned by Thomas Surgeonson, and it's an amazing story because this was one of the many theatres that would have been demolished. The Grand Theatre Trust in 1980 actually saved this theatre. They didn't get lottery money. They actually saved it through love and hard work, and they opened it back as a theatre in 1981.
Hi, I'm David Fletcher, and I'm going to give you a quick tour of the Grand Theatre. Would you like to come through to the auditorium? The theatre was built in 1894 by the architect Frank Matcham. He was asked to build the prettiest, cosiest and best theatre possible, so he was given free rein with it. And this is why it's known as Matcham's masterpiece. Now, down here there are about 400 seats. We have altogether 1,080. Originally, they used to have 3,000 people in here, but there were only four rows of seats at the front. And behind that, you got the flat wooden parquet floor, which was known as the pit, which was standing room. And then up in the gallery, where we now have 300 padded benches, that was standing room as well, so they have 1,000 people standing up there.
What people think of as 19th century theatre is Frank Matcham. He has an amazing facility of creating a very intimate space in a large auditorium. There's a close intimacy between the stage and the performers. There's no feeling of isolation. You feel that you're part of the show. And that's what's special about the Grand. The stage itself is almost within the bowl of the auditorium. It's quite amazing like that.
So identified is Matcham with such London theatres as the Hackney Empire, the London Palladium and the London Coliseum, it's sometimes forgotten how much he did in Blackpool. Vanessa Toolman.
One of the interesting things for me as an entertainment historian was how much of Frank Matcham's work as a theatre architect remained in Blackpool, and it was something I never associated with Blackpool. Frank Matcham was the foremost theatre designer of the 19th century. He was born in Devon. He wasn't trained as an architect. He worked for a number of companies and then married the boss's daughter. And then he became head of that company. And between 1891 to 1912, he was building the premier palaces of variety and coliseums of circus in the country. And sadly, only 24 Matcham buildings survive.
It's not surprising, though, that there was good business for Matcham in the Lancashire resort.
Anybody who was anybody in variety came to Blackpool. The reason, of course, was the big audiences, the fine salaries. Amazingly, before the First World War, artists like Little Titch, Vester Tilly, were getting £300 a week in variety. And some of them were so powerful that they insisted they didn't do matinees. They would only do the evening performances. So Blackpool had all the greats, and these were regular. Harry Lauder, George Formby Sr., Wilkie Bard, Mary Lloyd.
For years we had an aspidestra in a flower pot on the whatnot near the hat stand in the hall.
Probably the most popular artist who ever appeared in Blackpool was Gracie Fields.
It didn't seem to grow till one day our brother Joe had a notion that he'd make it strong and tall.
Her career was developing in the 1920s. By the 1930s, she was a huge variety star.
So he's crossed it with an acorn from an oak tree, and he's planted it against the garden wall. It shot up like a rocket till it nearly touched the sky. It's the biggest aspidestra in the world.
She appeared in Blackpool every year from 1932 to 38 at the Grand Theatre, a total of 14 weeks. And I think Gracie only could be guaranteed to be seen in two cities and towns in Britain during that period of her career. One was London, where she appeared at the Palladium, and one was Blackpool, when she appeared at the Grand.
We couldn't see the top of it, it got so blooming high. It's the biggest aspidestra in the world.
Even after the Second World War, and with radio all the rage, variety was still flourishing. A young Cyril Critchlow, later a performer himself, was completely knocked over by it.
My earliest memories are of the Palace Theatre in Blackpool. Twice nightly shows cost ninepence to go in, and that included going into the ballroom after the show. You got a full night show with eight artists in the first half, and then they would re-perform in the second half. But me being a magician, my greatest memories are men like Dante, a great performer, did a full night's show on magic, and he looked like a magician. He had his beard and his big cloak with red inside. He could cut a woman in half with a big saw uncovered.
It's a wonderful popular heritage, worth marking, both as part of our yesterdays and a tradition that goes on.
The next event we're doing for admissional classes is a two-day celebration of the history of variety. On the 30th of November, we're doing a wonderful night of old and new variety, a mixture of acts that are associated with Blackpool and also new acts from the variety.